Network, and we say hello, good evening, and congrats on a win over the Kansas City Chiefs to number 93, Gerald McCoy, who's with us for the full hour tonight. Good to see you again, sir.
Good to be here, man.
All right. I know you usually, as a team, you want to practice the 24-hour rule and move on, but while we have a moment here, it was good to get a win, period. Good to get a win coming off a bye week. So the question becomes, how does it translate here over the last 48 hours or so to the practice field in preparation for this week?
Well, you always want to come back and get a win off a bye week, especially after taking the loss. So when you come back, getting a win is a great way to start the second quarter of the season. We knew the things we needed to work on, and one of the things we need to work on is finishing. Well, we also like to start fast. Well, this being the second quarter season, coming out with a win, you know, that's starting fast. So it was good to get that W, but on to the Saints.
Yeah, on to what you do. You mentioned about finishing. That fourth quarter is exactly what you and a lot of the other players and coaching staff have been talking about, where the game could maybe have gone either way, mm-hmm. and you guys finished that game off.
Yeah, we did, man. It was we finished. You know, we've had issues with that the first four games, but you know, we took a few days off during the bye week, regathered our thoughts, and came out and decided the things we didn't do right in the first quarter of the season, we're gonna do our best to make sure that doesn't happen this second quarter.
All right, and we will take your phone calls tonight at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. That is the toll-free number to join us wherever you can hear the show. I should let you know that we've been getting some phone calls from Buck fans all over the place, California, Texas, New Jersey here the first few nights of this week. So you never know where the Buck fans are listening and finding us with technology, the internet, and the apps and whatever. If you can hear the show and you want to dial us up toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS for comments, questions for Gerald as we move along tonight. So practice today. You got back to the practice field after the day off. Everything went well with practice today in preparation?
Yeah, practice went well today, man. We one thing I can always say about this team is that we do practice hard, and we practice at game speed. Of course, you don't get as many reps, and you don't get the same type of tempo you'll get facing an opponent, but we practice as close to game speed as possible, and you know, a lot of teams don't take advantage of that one padded day a week, but we definitely do, and that's a test to show that you know, why we've been so physical. One thing we have been over the first five games is physical, and I think we've hit harder and played more physical than any team we faced or seen around the league. And it all goes back to how hard we practice when we do have the pads on. We don't have many of them, so we got to take advantage while we do have those padded practices.
It is kind of interesting, and we make mention of this, and some fans hear us over and over again going, why are they talking about that again? But a lot of fans may not realize this, Gerald, that it is not the way that the NFL used to be in terms of you got all the unlimited padded practices that you want. With the new collective bargaining agreement, there is a restricted number that you can have, a restricted number per week. And what you're saying is when you have that padded practice and are doing a lot of 11-on-11 stuff with the pads to simulate the game, that padded practice becomes even more valuable for those reasons.
Yeah, it definitely does, man. There's things you can do in pads you can't do when you don't have them on. You know, you can put your face on people more when you have on pads. When you don't have on pads, you know, you try and keep your face out of it and then just use your hands and get good placement and work on your technique. With the pads, you know, you just kind of run through people and, you know, but, we got to learn to take advantage of those one day a week we get.
All right. Again, we will take your phone calls. We'll take your comments. You know, I should tell the audience that you're in here tonight getting ready for the Saints already. You've been looking at tape. I'm just curious, you know, to this point, you've seen the Saints some in the past. How much tape have you watched already as we're sitting here on a Wednesday night getting ready for this game?
you know, we just started our game plan today. So I haven't had a chance to really just sit down and examine. So I've just only watched as much as we watched today at practice. I've been watching, you know, tape for the past, hour and a half. So outside of what we did today at practice, about an hour and a half worth of film, but I got a lot more to go.
What do you see early on here from the 2012 version? Because fans are curious. Sean Payton is not there. Do you see them running a lot of the same stuff? Does it look like the Saints that you've seen the last couple of years that you've been playing when you watch the tape?
Well, when you watch the tape, one first thing you see is number nine. And everything runs through him. So one thing we're going to have to do on the defensive end is we have to shake him up. I don't think you can stop him, but you can slow him down, make him make mistakes. He's going to get his numbers. I mean, it's just that's inevitable. He's just that good. But we have to make sure that it's real shaky and it's not easy. And, you know, make him – force him into making some bad throws because he's not a tall guy. So one thing, you know, we always talk about closing the pocket. We really have to make sure we could do that this week because he's, you know, he's only 6 foot.
One thing in the win last year that that took place at home is I believe you guys got four turnovers and it may have been three interceptions. It was at least two interceptions in that game. And again, that's not only stopping them, that's taking the ball away a lot of times on the plus side of the 50-yard line. Turnovers are big in any game, but you guys have had some success.
Turnovers are huge.
Sure. And you've had some success taking the ball away against Drew Brees and that offense in the past for whatever it's worth.
Turnovers are a huge part of not just this game, but any football game. I don't know if anybody watched Monday Night Football, but the Chargers were up 24-0. Started turning the ball over in bad areas, and they lost. There's no way they should have lost that game, but turning the ball over, man, is key. You have to take care of the football, and that's always a big part of our game plan is to take the ball away. We call it stealing possessions. We steal a possession that way when you take the ball away. So, and also, you get number nine off the field. You want to keep him on the sideline, you know, looking at those cards as long as you can. Because if he's not on the field, you know, he can't hurt you.
All right. So, and we're going to talk about this. It's going to be a fun part of this, that you've actually worked out with him in the offseason. And, right. In fact, Drew was just talking about that to the Tampa Bay media a little while ago about working out with you in the offseason. So some fans will be interested as we explore that here on this broadcast tonight. But, you know, again, looking at them, you know, Sean Payton is not there. But does it look like, again, without divulging all the stuff, but the tape is out there, does it look like they run a lot of the same stuff as if he would be there calling plays?
Oh, the Saints are still the Saints, and that's who they're going to be. As long as number nine is there, the Saints are not changing. As long as number nine is there, they're going to do what works for number nine because everything runs through him.
Gotcha.
Without giving away any specifics, you know, they do what they do, and we have to be ready for it.
Well put on that one. Again, you can join us on the phones. By the way, you can tweet me a question as well at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy. If you got questions, if you got comments for Gerald here this evening, I'm going to put a smile on his face as well before we go to the timeout here because we are going to talk Oklahoma Sooners here in a little bit.
Let's talk about the Longhorns.
Yeah, well, those two things do go together, and we'll have some fun with this because the Sooners put a freight train job on Texas at the Cotton Bowl this past Saturday, so I have a feeling that Gerald's going to want to revel in that as we go along here tonight. We will pause. We will be back. Stay with us. It is Total Access for this Wednesday night with number 93, Gerald McCoy, and we will be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We're getting the full breakdown off the air of the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. You were talking last week about Lakers and Thunder. It's about to be the NBA season. We got baseball playoffs.
I see my man Kobe drop 30 yesterday just because.
Exhibition game.
He didn't even do – I mean, he didn't even – of course they got destroyed, but he just dropped 30 just to let everybody know, yes, I still got it.
But it's an exhibition game.
I don't. It doesn't matter what it is. Can you go out there and hit 30?
I cannot.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying exhibition.
My point exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of criticism, and this is not true, that the NBA doesn't have any defense. They do have some defense, but in exhibition games, it's even less in the NBA.
Yeah, but you have to make the shots.
Right.
You can shoot all day, but if you can't make them, then, you know, he was just letting y'all know this is a warm-up for me. Wait till the season comes.
And we covered this last week, that you do back the Lakers, but you also back the Thunder because mm-hmm. you're from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lakers – I can't remember this. I'm honestly asking a couple weeks ago. I can't remember now.
Right.
When the Lakers play the Thunder
– it's whoever wins, wins.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're just breaking down a little NBA, too, while we talk some NFL as well. Again, 990-4620 if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827, number to join us as well here on the program. So, all right, while we're on the subject of other things besides Buccaneers, while we wait for some folks to call in, there's obviously plenty to talk about with this Saints game, but let's get to what happened at the Cotton Bowl last Saturday. College football, Sooners, Texas Longhorns.
What's the Cotton Bowl?
Well, yeah, it is.
What's the Cotton Bowl?
It's the name of the stadium.
The stadium? What happened at the stadium?
You know what happened.
What happened?
It was a whole lot to not enough. Sooners over Longhorns.
Oh,
you know,
it
you
was
know
a
that.
Game there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you implying that Texas and their fans may not have realized?
I thought you had a scrimmage.
Yeah. Well, let me – I know that you and Roy Miller are line mates and your guys, your friends, your buds. But I thought the one thing – I saw this on Twitter Saturday when the game was not going well in the first half. There was one sentence from your guy Roy Miller that kind of summed it up. And the one sentence was something to the effect of, and I may have the quote exactly right, just turned it on, about to turn it off, because he saw what the score was in the first half, where it eventually became like 36-2, I think. They had gotten a two-point.
You know,
it was 36-2, Gerald.
I think it was 36-2 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just – the thing is, we Texas, we go back and forth with the wins. As of late, I think we got three in a row. OU, we always go on runs. Texas doesn't have very many runs. They'll win, you know, maybe two in a row. And then, you know, we'll win, and then I'll win one, then we'll come. We go on streaks. Now, the thing about OU is when we beat Texas, we don't just barely beat them. We just, like, embarrass them.
Right.
And it's just – I'm sorry, Texas.
Yeah, this is back-to-back years when it's just been – a complete blowout, and it's really been about four or five times in Bob Stoops' era where he's won by 30 or more in this game.
Somebody said, why didn't you bet on the game? I said, because a bet is a gamble. You know, you just a gamble. It's like, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Were you watching?
This, it was a guaranteed, like, yeah,
all right,
it's going to happen.
So were you watching, and did you watch the whole thing, or did you just say, hey, I know what has happened here, and I don't have to watch any more of this with the Sooners?
I watched a little bit of it. After the game was really over, not actually over, but after I seen it was out of reach, I just started thinking about Kansas City.
I understand.
Yeah.
What about Roy? Has Roy been very quiet this week? Not a lot to say?
No. He, at first, you know, that night, the next day, Monday, they just take it so hard.
Right.
They just – It's tough for them. Funny thing is, I walked out to the captains, middle of the field for the game. You know, Derek Johnson
mm-hmm.
is a captain for Kansas City. When I walked up to him, I shook his hand, said, have a good game today. And then I pulled him close and whispered in his ear, I apologize. And he said, oh, don't do me like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, just wanted to let you know.
So,
sorry for yesterday.
What did you do that to anybody else, not just on the field, but on the phone or on a text message where you just had to say, I apologize?
Mm-mm.
Just to Derek Johnson Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
About how one-sided that was.
Of course.
What is that? I have been to that rivalry game. In fact, I was there one of the years that you played in the rivalry game in 07. What, or you would have been a, would you have been a freshman or a sophomore in 07? I was at the 07 game. That is a wild scene, mm-hmm. Oklahoma and Texas. What's it like to play in that game, as regular season college games go,
it's it's a different type of atmosphere. It's like a bowl game. It really is. It's like a bowl game. We approach it during the week as any other game. The players do. The coaches, on the other hand, it's like we can't lose to this team. If we can't lose any team, we can't lose to this one. You know, and the coaches will tell you, oh, it's like any other game, but you can clearly see that their coaches' style and other things, you know, it just kind of changes that week. But the best thing is pulling into the stadium. It's split right down the middle, and the fans are beating on the sides of the buses. And the security, they don't say anything because it's not like they're trying to do anything. It's just, you know, they're very excited for the buses to be coming in. So they just beat on the side of the buses. And
Texas fans are beating on your bus.
Well, Texas is on one side and Oklahoma's on the other side.
Right.
So it's just a huge rumble as you're walking in, as you're pulling in on the buses. And that's the best part. But then walking down the ramp, you walk down, you got your headphones on, you see the Texas players, you're on the field, everybody's getting ready.
The interesting thing is it's the same ramp and the locker rooms are right beside each other there.
They're right across from each other.
Yeah, the Cotton Bowl. So
when we're coming out, we're standing at the door, they're standing at the door. So who's ever at the front of the line, you better be about something because you're looking this man right in his eye. So they got their one guy, you got your one guy, whoever in the front. They got to be about something because you can't be getting intimidated if you're going to be in the front. You know, and then you kind of – I mean, this is where security really has to be on point because they walk out and then we walk out, or we walk out and they walk out,
right,
and there's nothing separating us except security. I mean, and let's just be honest. If we wanted to move security out the way, you know, so it's pretty fun.
Are you saying that you were one of those up front guys later on in your career? No?
I wasn't. I'm very calm, cool, collected.
So you would have somebody else out front to lead the team out.
Yeah.
I know that I've interviewed and done a bunch of radio work with the former Sooners head coach Barry Switzer, and he said one of the things that you always had to watch out for, too, is Bevo, the Longhorn mascot, was always down at the bottom of the ramp, and you had to be careful because Bevo a lot of times would have done his business, and you don't want to – how shall we say, get your cleats muddied and have problems.
You don't want to get your cleats dirty.
Were you warned, watch out for Bevo?
They moved him now. He's not at the ramp anymore. So they moved him out the way. Yeah, he's kind of over the Texas sideline, more towards the end zone.
Not as big an issue anymore.
No.
Because it used to be down there. So, again, big win there from so you didn't text anybody on the Oklahoma side, coaches, you know, people you know, and say – right on. Way to get them. None of that.
Mm-mm.
Didn't have to be said?
No, it's kind of you just understand, like, yeah, we got them.
Got them for another year.
Right.
For people that don't understand that rivalry, this is like the Florida-Florida State game in the state where we are.
Okay.
All right, and that game is at the end of the year.
See, the
state
thing,
rivals.
The thing is, I think OU Texas, everybody understands that, you know, it's OU Texas across the country. Growing up in Oklahoma, we didn't see Florida State as that rivalry. We always seen Florida State Miami as that rivalry. They made it was like
right.
It was like made more of a big deal, I guess, because Miami was that was when they were the U.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Florida State was at the top of the college game for a long period of time, and so was Miami. Not saying Florida wasn't, but it's just I feel like they made Florida State Miami bigger.
Well, the interesting thing, having lived in this state, and Florida State and Miami, by the way, play this week, so that's that's an interesting follow-up to this. But Florida in the 1980s, because of probation and whatever, blah, 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 before Spurrier got there, kind of had some down years, and the Florida State-Miami rivalry really heightened there with Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, against Bobby Bowden with some in the 80s. And maybe became a bigger rival than Florida.
What rivalry? I honestly don't think there's a rivalry bigger than OU Texas.
But see, Florida and Florida State fans would fight you on that because they believe that rivalry and that game at the end of the year is every bit that. You know, I don't know that Michigan, Ohio State's bigger than OU Texas.
Michigan, Ohio State, yeah, that's up there.
But
Michigan,
Auburn,
Ohio State is
Auburn and Alabama.
Auburn, Alabama.
They only care about that game 365 days out of the year in Alabama. They have no professional sports.
Right.
That's all they talk about. That's all they care about.
That's just OU Texas is just. I don't feel like the other games are hyped up like OU Texas. You know, OU Texas, if they're both ranked high, they get game day. Easy.
Right.
And then you see the split down the middle, and I just feel like everything else is kind of like mixed up. It's just because we meet at a neutral ground.
Right.
They don't meet at neutral ground, do they? Is it
yes.
this house or the other?
The only exception would probably be Florida and Georgia play in Jacksonville. That'll be in a couple of weeks, so that's quasi-neutral ground for them. But other than that, it's usually in a rivalry game. You're playing on the road or at home.
Yeah,
right.
That's why I feel like OU Tech is just like, let's meet in the middle and see what happens, you know?
All right. So there you go. Now the Florida and Florida State fans are going to be ready.
Don't be angry with me. That's just my understanding.
I understand.
You guys, don't be angry because I'm confused.
990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And also toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. We'll bring it back to the matchup with the Saints this week. Lance tweets me. You can tweet questions, comments. Do so at Bucks Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Bucks Sideline Guy. Lance says, do you think it's a must to sack Drew Brees, or is hurrying him going to be good enough?
Any way to disrupt Drew Brees is a must. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sack. Of course, sacks can kill drives. Sacks can end games. Sacks, you know, it can do a lot to, you know, help determine different things that happen in the game. But just disrupting him in general, getting in his face, closing the pocket, pushing the pocket back in his face, getting him uncomfortable, getting him on the run, making him make bad throws. Because he's a gunslinger, and a lot of people don't realize that he's a gunslinger, and he's going to try and make every throw because he believes he can. And as simple as that. So any way to disrupt him is a must. Sacks are not as necessary as people may think. Is that what we're going for? Yeah, of course. So,
You trained with him, and you may have done this the last couple of off seasons, but I know you've talked before that you've trained with him this off season as well. And Darren Sproles, I believe, who had played
for the
Chargers,
Chase Daniels,
and
backup quarterback.
There we go. All right, and so you guys trained together in the off season, and a lot's being made of that this week for the media and for the fans. But what's it like training? Training with Drew Brees and Sproles and those guys in the offseason. Just kind of take me through what you're doing.
Greg Camarillo?
Yes, the receiver.
Trained with him too.
All right, so he's been out there along with Chase Daniel.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys that are out there. But anyway, you know, I get to see firsthand why he is who he is and why he
– Drew you're talking about.
Drew. And Darren Sproles. I get to see firsthand why those guys are as good as they are. Drew's, you know, when he starts to train, it's like his focus level is like he's in practice. Or it's like he's in a game. He just zones out and zones into what he's doing. He gets in, he works, he leaves. Nothing more to it. He gets in, he's there early, warming up, loosening up, he works, and he leaves. He goes home. You know, but he's a very personable guy. But when he works, he works. And he works really hard. And, you know, him and Sproles, those two guys, man, they're amazing athletes, amazing football players. And, you know, I've seen firsthand why they deserve the things that have come to them.
Just kind of take us through what are the workouts like? What all were you guys doing?
Well, I trained Todd Durkin, man. He's trained people all over the world. He has, you know, seminars where people come from all over the world just to see the different types of things he does. You can even YouTube him. It's Todd Durkin, TODDDURKIN. I mean, I'm telling you, if you want to, and the gym is called Fitness Quest 10. The guy's amazing.
We're plugging away tonight. I love it. Okay,
keep
going.
The guy's amazing. He really is. And, you know, it's just he's amazing with the types of things he does. He trains guys. He doesn't put everybody through the same workout. He trains guys specific to their position and what they want to get done. He sits you down before you work out. He asks you, what do you want to get accomplished this year? What do you think you need to work on? What were your flaws last year? And he works you out according to that, while he still keeps the base and core, you know, during the workout. He's amazing.
Were you working out, though, in tandem with Drew at some times? Were you on the field together running around?
Yeah, there'd be times,
doing different stuff?
There'd be times where when we do field work, I'll have to pass rush and Drew would be the quarterback. You know?
Were you ever tempted?
No.
Come on.
No.
For a half second?
Never.
Okay. Well, but sometimes it's just instinct that takes over.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just never tempted. But
okay.
And then there'd be times where I'd be paired with Darren Sproles in drills. I'm like, yo, serious?
Ever tempted?
No.
Okay.
And
well, you're a defensive guy. I mean, you know, that's ingrained in you.
Right. And Durkin, one thing he would do, he would put me with those guys because those guys are just – I mean, it's just to be honest, those guys are going to be faster and quicker than me. So in order to build my speed and my quickness, I have to keep up with Darren Sproles. Come on now.
What's that like?
Yeah, that's what it's like. Like, yeah, okay. I try though. You know, and it honestly has made me a lot quicker and faster because when I am with those guys, I'm typically the only lineman to be with those guys. There's a bunch of skill guys, and I have to stay at their pace, and they work out at a rapid pace, and that's why I'm always come back in such great shape because I have to work out with those guys. And it makes me move a lot faster.
Do you really feel, I mean, it sounds like in your voice here that this has helped you and has given you in some ways a physical edge overall, not just playing them, but a physical edge overall, that off-season program?
Definitely. Definitely it has.
Love it. All right, we got a caller, Brent in Houston, Texas. Told you they're listening all over the place. Brent, you're on Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy. Hello there.
How you doing there today? Just want to say, Gerald McCoy, I'm a big fan of you. You know, I enjoy you watching you play. You play with a lot of intensity. And back to the point you were talking about, the Texas and OU rivalry. You know, I know Florida State might be big, but that's just for the state of Florida. But Texas and OU is two states battling against each other. And, you know, another thing people fail to realize is that Dallas, where the Cotton Bowl is at, is split almost the same distance from Austin and from Norman.
And Brent, he understands. Brent understands. Brent understands.
And I mean, it is. As traditional rivals go during the season, that's a big one. I mean, later in the year, it's Bedlam with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they can say Florida State all they want, but that's still in the same state. That's our OU OSU. But you take two different schools from two different states, they meet in the middle. You know, they're both 3 hours away from the Cotton Bowl. They meet in the middle, and they, let's do this. I feel like there's nothing that compares to that because everything is, you know, let's go to your school or come to our school. It's not let's meet on neutral ground and fight. You know, it's either we're going to go to where your whole family is at and I got to fight you, or you come to where my family is at, and I got to fight you. Not let's meet in the middle with both our families, and let's just fight. Let's just see what happens.
I love that visual. I love that analogy.
Brent, you the man. You understand. Brent understand.
All right. Again, we'll take your phone calls. We will pause here. We will be back. We'll talk more about the matchup with the Saints. We'll see what else is on Gerald's mind here tonight. Maybe we'll talk a little more OU Texas. You never know. Here this evening, it is Buccaneers Total Access here on a Wednesday night with Gerald McCoy. We will be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back here on this Wednesday night. Thanks for hanging out with us on Buccaneers Total Access. Again, you can join us on the phones at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. If you're outside of the immediate area, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number to join us. One more on working out in the off season. How long did you work out with this program? Was it a couple of days, a couple of weeks?
When I go out there, let's see, during the, I don't even know if I can say this word, but I'm saying it anyway, I get in trouble later. During the lockout, I was there for 6 months.
Right.
Last year, because of my injury, I was there for 3 months. And the great thing about going out there is it's necessary because when I get back here, our strength coach, he's amazing. The thing, like, I can honestly say I'm stronger than I've ever been. Even when all we did is work out 24/7 at OU, I'm stronger than I've ever been because of the way he works out and contrasts and different things. He doesn't always. Sometimes there's a whole lot, and then sometimes there's not. Then sometimes you run a lot, and then sometimes you don't. But you still feel like you got the work in. But you can't come back to this program that we have now that they put together, our strength staff, you know, without having done something. So it was great that I can, you know, work out in San Diego. But because when I come back, I mean, JB, as we call him, he turns it on. Coach Butler, he turns it on. And you have to be ready for it. So, you know, it's great that I can go out there and get a little work in before I come back here.
When you work during the season, training camp and then during the season, are you working on agility stuff like what this sounds like you were doing in San Diego? Is that still incorporated?
Well, for me, honestly, I've had 3 weeks. I've went out there for 6 months during the lockout, 3 months this year, and then I went out there for 3 weeks right before training camp. For 3 weeks, out of all the times I've been in San Diego, I got to work out without having to rehab an injury.
So that was like heaven.
Yeah.
Those 3 weeks.
So the most every time I'm out there, I work out around my injury. It's like working back to get back to normal. So, you know, it's great to be able to work out there without having to work around an injury. And when you do that, you just simply prepare for a season. It's fast paced the whole time. Everything's fast paced because you train as if you're playing a game.
All right, to the phones. Tom has been waiting. I believe he is hearing us in St. Augustine, Florida tonight here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. TJ, you're a great interview. I just want to let you know I'm following you on Buck Sideline Guy. And
this could be one of my relatives here. He's scoring points. Thank you, Tom.
And Joe, definitely have a career in broadcasting after the NFL. Hopefully you're with the Bucs the next, you know, 15 years like Rondé, you know. But you definitely have a career in broadcasting. Yeah. You're very well spoken.
Tom
you're
is propping us up.
As well, too.
Man.
Hey, Joe, real quick before I ask my question, man, I'm following you on Instagram.
Okay.
Tampa 2, T-A-F-E-A, the number 2. I was calling to see if you could follow me back, too, if you don't mind. But I saw you put a picture of your birthday cake. Happy belated birthday, too, by the way. And it was insane. I had to look at it several times to see if that was really a cake. And I just want to ask you, man, how did that cake taste?
Which one?
Thanks for taking my call. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. I appreciate it, guys. Go Bucks, guys.
Okay, I want
the jersey. The jersey birthday cake. Enlighten us for those that don't know.
Let's clear some things up. My birthday is not until February. So that's why I was a little confused, because my birthday cake I received was a Michael Jackson cake. But the cake he's talking about was a congratulations for making captain is what that was.
Okay.
My family, you know, wanted to surprise me with a cake. And if you go look at it on Instagram name is going to do a little plug real quick. Geraldini93, follow me. It is I put up a picture. What they did is – and the name of the place that makes these cakes, they're amazing. It's called Sweet Tweets. It's right on Dale Mabry.
Okay.
Right past Lineball. It's called Sweet Tweets, and they do some amazing stuff. If you go look at the picture, you'll see they literally recreated my jersey with the C on it. It had the yellow star. I mean, it looks like
it was a
jersey.
3D jersey.
It was a jersey, cake. But it was a cake. It was a strawberry cake, but it was a jersey. I mean, it even had like the towel at the bottom. It had, you know, like the jersey size and all. It was amazing. Yeah, it was pretty legit.
And so this cake.
I'm sorry, Tom. To answer your question, the cake was amazing. It's not. It doesn't just look good. It tastes better than it looks. I promise you.
How long did this cake last? Was it devoured immediately, or
no,
did it last?
No, because I got it after the Carolina game, and you know we were eating dinner, and I didn't get a chance to really touch it.
I'm assuming that
until the next few days.
But I'm assuming that others got to tear into it too.
Definitely.
Were you having to hold some people off and say, "Wait a minute"?
No.
I got to have a piece.
No, I'm not stingy.
You're not stingy that way?
No.
You know, Carl Nix is in here all the time talking about cakes and whatever. You're laughing.
I'm a little different from Carl.
I understand that, but I mean, Carl's like, what was it, that one night he was looking for Hostess, a specific Hostess cake that they don't make anymore, like the little packaged cakes. And Carl was going,
I don't know, but
was putting out the bat signal to everybody if they could help him find the Hostess cake. So,
zebra cakes are the best.
What are zebra cakes? Enlighten me. What's a zebra? Yeah, what is a zebra?
You know what a zebra cake is?
I do not know what a zebra cake is.
That's blasphemy. Okay, look.
Tell us.
Zebra cake is not Hostess. It's Little Debbie's.
Okay.
It's Little Debbie's.
Why didn't you say Little Debbie's?
Yeah, I didn't say Hostess.
Okay.
Right? You know, it's fair enough.
Zebra cake. Go.
Zebra cake. It's packaged in two, which is the best thing about it. You don't just get one, you get two. It's packaged in two, and it's a little white cake with zebra lines on it.
Okay.
And it's delicious.
This sounds like it's more of an off-season food as opposed to the training table. Oh,
yeah.
Man, you might sneak a zebra cake in every once in a while.
Yeah.
You're a big guy.
Off-season.
You're a big guy, though.
Right.
I mean, one more funny thing. You know, obviously, Carl is playing against his former team, and Drew Brees was just saying to the media downstairs, to the Tampa Bay media, that Carl Nix may be the largest human being that he has ever been around. And he said, I can't believe what Carl can eat, too. So, I mean, do you have to eat a lot to be a big guy? So,
Yeah.
There we got a picture here.
Picture of zebra cake.
Of a zebra cake on a computer. Yes. I see what you're talking about.
And there is a bite in it. So clearly it's delicious. Back to Carl. Honestly, when I've been around him, I haven't seen him eat a lot, which is throwing me off.
Yeah, but obviously
completely.
It's throwing me off completely.
He has to. You eat like a DB.
Right.
But you're two offensive linemen.
Built into one.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
Yeah. And, it'll be interesting with him taking on the Saints as well coming up this week. Again, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. If you want to join us here on the program tonight. Jason is next in Lutz. We're kind of all over the map with everything tonight. I think Jason's got an interesting question, too. You're on with Gerald McCoy on Total Access. Hey, Jason.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Hey, Gerald. Yeah.
Jason, where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from England, mate.
Oh, okay.
How about that? All right.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago when you went on your last show, you said you're going to sit back and play some Sega Genesis games.
Yes.
That got me really riled up because I brought my Sega Genesis, which is actually called a Sega Mega Drive, over in Europe. Over here to the States, and I plugged it in and started playing Moonwalker as well over the weekend. And I was wondering if you actually ever managed to finish, like, you complete Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, because I cannot beat that game. Can't do
okay.
it.
Okay. Hey, these are vital things that we have to know.
You have to know this, and yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I've beat that game one time.
Ever?
And it was when I was a kid. When kids are amazing at these video games. You know what I don't like? You could be playing Call of Duty or something. And it's just like the person that leading in kills will have, you know, they'll go like 30 with 5 deaths. And you're like, okay, this person plays this too much, entirely too much.
Right.
And then you hear them say, I'm playing games, Mom. It's like, seriously, this 8-year-old is dominating all these grown men.
Right, of course.
In this video game.
Yes.
That's how I beat the game. It was when I was a kid, and all I did is sit and play it until I could beat it. I don't have the time now
right.
to sit and have – I don't have the patience. I have kids of my own. I don't have the patience to
and
sit.
And you have film to watch,
right.
football
I,
to play.
I have a career now. These little kids, they're amazing at these games. They have no worries. And it's just – anyway, Jason, no, I can't beat it. I'm struggling just like you.
You told us about that Michael Jackson Moonwalker game. I had never heard of it, and now we find out that somebody else is playing it, too.
I don't know where you guys have been. The game is legit. Okay. The game's legit.
I'm not going to doubt you. You're bigger than me. Jason, by the way, you know, being from over in England, you know, I may mention to this to other players, and you know this because we played there last year. There is a humongous Buccaneer fan club, the Bucs UK. Paul Stewart and his guys do a great job, and a couple of those fan club members were actually here, not all of them, but a couple of them for the Kansas City game. Some of them were at the Giants game earlier this year. I mean, there's a big Buccaneer following, relatively speaking, over there in the UK that love the Bucs and stay up at all hours of the night watching Buccaneer football over there.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. I have a lot of followers on Twitter who have tweeted me and said that they were from there. So it's, you know, and they we got a lot of fans everywhere. It's pretty legit. Speaking of fans.
Yes.
I had the opportunity to go to an event last night.
Which all right.
I'm going to try and get the name correct. It was the Coke Fan Bash.
This is a Buccaneer event last night.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And what I was able to do, and not just me, but myself, Michael Bennett, Mike Williams, and Barth Vader, you know, or Connor Barth, I'm
yep,
sorry.
Yep.
They got on to me about saying that yesterday. His name's not Barth Vader. Connor Barth, our kicker, a.k.a. Barth Vader, he was there, and Captain Fear and a few of the cheerleaders, and we just had a lot of fun, man. We took some pictures, signed some autographs, and we were able to give out a lot of good things, man. We gave out some gift cards to Publix. We gave out some autographed helmets, some autographed footballs, some jerseys. We gave away some season tickets.
Wow.
We gave away some travel packages where you fly on a party plane.
To go to a road
party
game.
Plane to go to the Carolina game.
Wow.
Yeah, then we gave away some tailgating things where you get food, you get two suite passes, you get two ship passes. She gave away some good stuff yesterday.
So it was neat to be around the fans. And these people.
I just enjoy mingling with the fans, man. It's, you know, I think the fans think we're uptight or that we don't want to be involved with them, but honestly, we love you guys. And, you know, I always have a blast, you know, them just speaking for myself. And, you know, I always have a blast being around the fans and, you know, interacting with them because it's always funny to see how excited they are for the next game. You know, it's just when you take a picture with some of them, they just walk up and they hit you like, yeah, let's go. And I think they hit you because they think because you're a big guy, you don't feel pain. But it's like somebody hit me yesterday and all the air left out of my body, and he wondered why I couldn't respond to him. It's because I couldn't breathe. You know, he was just so excited. I don't even think he realized he punched me with all of his strength, and I was just like, you know, but he's a fan. He's excited.
Well,
let's go with it.
And for a lot of them, and you've experienced this now, you experienced it at Oklahoma, but you've experienced it now in the NFL. For a lot of them that are fans, and it's the first time to get to be around you and meet you, in a lot of ways, it's a dream come true. They see you at the stadium playing
right.
the game. They see you on TV, and now here you are 2 feet away, real life. And I know for the players, a lot of times, it's neat that, hey, we get to, you know, interact with the people that come and scream their head off or are watching us on the tube or whatever the case is.
And it's great, man. And, you know, you never know what people are going through or, you know, what people deal with in their lives. So any way you can help by just, you know, just smiling or shaking somebody's hand. And real quick, before I go. About shaking hands.
Yeah.
Defensive linemen, you guys have to be fans. You heard this from Gerald McCoy today. You have to be careful with defensive linemen in season because our hands hurt. We have jammed fingers, brittle. Sometimes they're bruised. Sometimes people have broken fingers or broken bones in the hand, but they just keep playing. You know, there's a lot of different things that go on with our hands, and everybody wants to show, like, okay, this is a football player. I have to shake his hand hard. You really don't.
Right.
So if you ever meet me and I dap you up, just know it's in season. Don't mean any disrespect. Just in a little pain.
Okay. So that is Gerald McCoy here on Total Access with a public service announcement about his hands and greetings and the handshakes and just especially in season. I love
any other way – to greet you guys,
just,
you know.
Just don't knock the air out of you.
Correct.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
That's another part of that. We will come back. We will talk more with Gerald about the upcoming matchup with the Saints. That is the game Sunday, 1 o'clock. Again, we're on the air at noon. First of two matchups with them. And it should be quite a tussle. It always seems to be with these NFC South opponents. We will be back. It's Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, we come back in here with Gerald McCoy here on this Wednesday evening. I just need to ask a follow-up about the video game stuff because if you weren't with us 2 weeks ago, just give me the quick version for the fans that didn't hear it. You got a new, what is it called, that works on the computer that will play the old school games, the emulator. And it plays the old school.
You can go download the games. You can play Super Nintendo. Actually, you can play any from any system, from all the way from Atari up to PS2.
Wow.
I think PS3 and Xbox 360 is where they cut it off.
Where were the games that you played when you fooled around during the bye week? Besides Michael Jackson's Moonwalker,
I honestly didn't play many games. I kind of got locked into Donkey Kong.
I like Donkey Kong.
I got locked into it because there was a stage. There, Donkey Kong, they kind of get you. How they get you in that game is they have these save points on there, but it takes so long to get to one. If you die in the middle of it and you have to continue, you have to go all the way back to the previous world.
It was frustrating.
It's like, so, you know.
The thing is, you got to remember, you know, before your time a little bit here, in the arcade, you had to keep putting quarters in that game, and you'd get bonked out. You know, you'd play for 30 minutes and get bonked out to go at the very beginning, and that meant another 25 cents and another 25 cents. And you end up spending $10 on Donkey Kong.
Right. And, you know, it's good that I got it at home now.
There you go. Michael sends me a question on Twitter while we're kind of off the beaten path before we get back to the Saints. He says, seems like you have a team full of high school basketball stars. Who is the best, and who would you rather see play one-on-one on the team?
Basketball.
Look, it's like Mike Williams can play.
Mike Williams is pretty good.
Donald Penn keeps saying.
Penn's good. Don't let Penn fool you. He's a big guy, but he's athletic.
Carl, like, totally disregards.
But Carl can play, but Vincent Jackson is. He's the man. He's legit.
Can he shoot the three?
I think Akib can hoop too.
Who can dunk?
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams can dunk.
Yeah. Dakota Watson, his athleticism is insane. But Mike Williams, the thing with Dakota is he can just dunk and make it look easy. Mike Williams can do like the all-star contest dunks.
There's actually a YouTube video.
Here's a video. Have you seen it?
Of him dunking and doing all kinds of.
He won a dunk contest versus one of the Syracuse basketball players and one of like the stars. That he was a first round pick this year.
Right.
And he beat him in a dunk contest.
All right. So Sunday, I don't know if you were on the field, but I was observing this, as were some other people. Sunday, about an hour and a half before the game, Mike's down there working out, loosening up. He's down there with Dakota, and we actually joked with Mike about this after the game. I don't know. Were you standing down there on the field when this happened?
Mm-mm.
Mike decides to just up and do a backflip, and just up and did a backflip. And so after the game, I said, "What was that about?" And he said, "Well, I had to remind Dakota Watson that I'm a better backflipper than him. I just had to let him know acrobatics, you know, whatever."
You know,
so there you go.
You always think you're athletic until you're walking on the field to get ready for a game and you see somebody do that. It's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'll just
stay in my lane.
Bring it back to football. He makes a very athletic go up and get the ball, catch, and run for a touchdown later on in the game that translates into the football.
Vincent Jackson, man, you can throw the ball up anywhere, and those guys will go get it. It's amazing the things they can do, but not just because they can go up and get it. Those guys have great hands. Their hand-eye coordination is amazing. Plus the athleticism, you know, it's great.
We've got about 5 minutes left here. And, again, you can squeeze in a quick call at 990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. With the Saints coming in here, I know you want to win every game, but this is a division game, and it's a home game, and you only get three home division games. The media, the fans, will make more out of the significance of that. What about that for players playing a division rival at home, Gerald?
You always want to win your division. You know, simple as that. You always want to win your division. You know, you can – there was, I think, my rookie year, just because I remember it because of my teammate Sam Bradford, you know, they almost got in the playoffs. They had a, you know, and this is not, I'm not saying this is an example of us because I plan on us making a run and go on to have a great record. But it's just to say how significant winning your division is. They had a final season game where their record, they only had like 6 or 7 wins.
They and Seattle.
You remember in Seattle. They played.
Both had 6 wins.
6 wins.
And the winner to finish 7-9 was going to make the playoffs.
And that's the year Seattle beat the Saints at home.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
2 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, Marshawn Lynch got the run of the year. He got the play of the year in that game. You know, it was just, that was, you know, but that goes back
importance,
to show,
the importance was division wins. And that last division game.
Yep. So winning your division is key. Winning your division games is key. You know, you play all these other games to have the record to solidify a playoff spot. But winning your division is key because that can get you a wild card. That can get you an automatic spot as well.
A lot is being made of the Saints having been 0-4. We've talked about how Sean Payton's not there. They get a win. They have a bye week. Here they come to Tampa, and a lot of people are saying, you know, again, pundits, media, whatever, dangerous Saints team trying to reclaim their season, whatever. Is that more just for fans and the media and whatever for this week?
The Saints are the Saints. And we're always going to treat any of our division opponents with respect or any opponent with respect. It's the NFL. This is the NFL, and on any given Sunday, any team can lose. So you don't go into a game looking at a record. You go into a game realizing you're in the NFL, and on any given Sunday, any given team can lose, or any given Thursday, or Monday. You know, whatever day we play games on, that's how you have to face every opponent. So we're not worried about the record, what they did in the past, or any type of run they're on. We know that we have to face the Saints this week, division opponent, and we have to be ready for them to give us their best.
And if fans remember this, at the end of the 2009 season, right before you got here, Buccaneers only had 2 wins. The Saints had 13 wins, and the Buccaneers almost cost the Saints home field advantage, beating the Saints in the Superdome that year. So anything can happen. Listen, we got to run. We got about 20 seconds. Say something to the Buc fans. I know you want them there. You want them in full voice and ready to go Sunday at 1 o'clock, Gerald.
Saints are going down. Be there.
Oh, how about that? Succinct enough. Thank you. We'll see you next Wednesday night. We'll see you Sunday as well. There you go. Gerald is done. And my thanks to Eric Sachs for helping out. I love that. Saints are going down. Be there. Well, that's a way to end the show. My thanks also to Jeff Ryan here at One Buc Place. Have a great Wednesday night. Again, Buccaneers and Saints Sunday at 1 on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
Are you looking?